grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Man, I tell you what, folks, hey, welcome to episode 348. Chris Jordan here, host of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Welcome. I can't tell you what it means to me every single time I talk to you guys, every single time that we are on the air, what it means to be two episodes away from a full rebrand of this show and to be taking it to a larger audience, a bigger audience, bigger guests, everything else. Thank you guys so much for your support over all of this time. It's been fantastic. You guys truly do deserve the applause out there. Y'all are the ones that got us to the point of being voted for Best News in Politics category in the People's Choice Podcast Awards. So kudos to all you guys for helping us with that, for helping us along the way, helping us carve this niche that we have carved over all this time. Our guest tonight, whenever we bring him on, will be the amazing Bishop James Cloud. The good Archbishop is the author of Walking with Ghosts, an exorcist memoir of the paranormal. And tonight we will be talking about the astral world fallout, everything that has come out about the astral world debacle in my hometown of Houston, Texas, with hometown artist Travis Scott, and how it's really gone down the rabbit hole. Like, we've talked a little bit about it. We brushed on it last week with our guest Robert Duncan. But man, has it really gone down the rabbit hole of look at all of the satanic stuff. Look at all of this. And granted, there's some wild imagery, things like that. We'll be getting into that with the good Archbishop. We'll be getting into exorcism. We'll be getting into Satanism. So trigger warning for a lot of you capital R religious folk out there who take things by the letter and who may not understand symbology. So we're going to be getting into all that with Archbishop James Cloud this evening. Cannot wait for that. While you're online checking out that article, checking out everything else, make sure to stop on by the Dudes and Beer podcast. That is where you can find all of our episodes. That's where you can find the Knowledge Vault. That's where you can find everything Dudes and Beer. Almost 350 episodes now, and I'll have to do the math, but I remember at 300, we were close to 32 solid days of programming where you could listen to Dudes and Beer for 32 days straight, nonstop, and never hear the same content. So, yeah, a little bit more to do for you guys, but it's going to be super fun. Really can't wait. While you're online checking that out, make sure to stop on by our sponsors, True Hemp Science. Our good friend Christopher Lynch over there at True Hemp Science is the maker of some of the best darn CBD in the United States. I have traveled many of the continental United States, probably about half of them. And in most of them that I go to where I can find a dispensary, I try at least one CBD product. Dependably, I come back to True Hemp Science. Full spigyric process is what they use. Whole plant medicine, roots, seeds, stems, bud, trim, everything from the cannabis plant is used to achieve the best product that you can get. Full spectrum CBD oil, terpene profiles, and everything. Stop on by. TrueHempScience.com is the website. Dude7 is the code that you want to use to save 7% off your entire cart of $50 or more. And at the same time, get two hand-size edibles. I got big hands, and those cookies are the size of my hand, people. Two 25-milligram edibles, as well as 7% off your entire cart of $50 or more at True Hemp Science, truehempscience.com. Dude7 is the code that you want to use. While you're online checking that out, make sure to stop on by our other sponsor, Podcast Cadet. Yeah. Let's check that out. Here we go. Somewhere. It's somewhere, I'm telling you. Hey, there it is.
Podcast. Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code DUDES20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com.
That's right, folks. Stop on by. Check it out. PodcastCadet.com is the website that you want to go to. DUDES20 is the code that you want to use to save 20% off your entire cart there. Full disclosure, I am one of the founders of Podcast Cadet. I founded that because I love podcasting, and I like people to do it right. So stop on by, check it out, let us help you out. Our guest today, the amazing Archbishop James Cloud, author of Walking with Ghosts, an exorcist memoir of the paranormal. Welcome to the show. How are you, good father?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming back on and on such short notice. You're always one of those guests that I can contact and know that you can be on the show like within 24, 48 hours. Not that you aren't busy, but you consider the message of what you do as an exorcist and spiritual guide that important.
Absolutely. I'm always happy to informed best I can.
Well, before we start really digging into this Travis Scott situation and cracking the nut on Satanism, blood sacrifice, satanic blood sacrifice, air quotes being used there, things like that, let's get into your background a little bit and what brought you to write the book Walking with Ghosts and how you came to be an exorcist to begin with.
Sure. Happy to tell the story. So my family line, going back generations on both sides of the family, have had what people would say are paranormal experiences. You know, we've seen ghosts, spirits, etc. Even going back down my mother's line, from the family stories, there was the we had great grandmothers that were witches back in Portugal, and old magic systems or whatever. I never dove into what they were doing, but so it's always, that kind of stuff has always been in the family history, the family stories. And then all of the women in the line have had what people would call the sight. So, but for me, since I had two lines that kind of intersected into me, I've had the sight ever since I was a little kid. And you know, there were times it was pure torment because the shadow people would harass me all the time as a kid, and actually my entire portfolio of experiences started with a UFO abduction back when I was 4 years old. and my entire family saw the craft, and three of them, three triangles in a triangle formation. And then that night, I was the only, you know, quote unquote, lucky one that was selected to be taken. And that's a full story in and of itself. But that seemed to be the catalyst for the shadow people, the other things that I experienced growing up. And for me, you know, my dad, he was a Pentecostal minister. And so I tagged along with him when he would things and pray through homes and whatnot to get out any evil spirits. And I, you know, with his teaching and wisdom, I was able to figure out, hey, I don't have to be tormented. I don't have to, you know, just take it, bend over the barrel. And I can fight back through Christ. And so I guess, as they say, the rest is history. I've did hundreds of home cleansings, dozens and dozens of possession cases, and probably hundreds of oppression cases as well. So, you know, and the book itself, Walking with Ghosts, just started as a catalog of family stories, things that happened to my mom and my aunts and stuff when they lived in a old yellow Victorian house in the San Joaquin Valley in California, all the paranormal happenings that occurred there. And then things that my mom had went through when I was growing up, things I went through growing up. And then I tried to put a biblical perspective on, you know, what the heck was going on and what continues to go on around the world. And that's really what the book is about.
And when you say a biblical perspective, I think that's interesting, because all too frequently, even the fact that you being an exorcist in the Order of St. Michael, things like that, most of the time, even exorcists, priests, most people who wear the collar do not ascribe to the paranormal.
True.
And that, to me, I mean, Father, I was, as you know, and as my audience knows, I was a Roman Catholic seminarian for my first year in college. Left, did years of youth ministry afterward, years of work, volunteer work. I was highly active in my Knights of Columbus chapter, things like that. But that was a big, big point of departure for me, with my spiritual director. And I remember the day that conversation happened, after I'd had a couple of experiences and came to him and in confidence about these things, a couple of shadow people experiences that were very, very disturbing to me. And this was a priest that I'd known for years and years, who, you know, attaché to the bishop at one point, things like that. And he was like, Chris, the church doesn't have a teaching on things like that. You know, we don't really ascribe to that stuff. You know, we warn against sorcery and, you know, whatever that is. And, you know, of course, we're going to warn you against any kind of magical practices or divination. But when it comes to ghosts, we don't really have a teaching on that. And
sure,
that was, like I said, a huge point of departure for my religion, not my faith. Not my faith as it stands, and my God, my relationship with my God, anything like that, but definitely my relationship with the capital C Church and her teachings, because it was like, you can't, you know, like, that's like asking me to eat the orange without, like, don't eat the rind, but don't peel it, but enjoy that orange. You know that there's a beautiful thing in that orange, right? And it's delicious, but don't go peeling it. It was like, you can't. You're asking me to accept spectral evidence on one hand, and then to deny it on the other. And that is a far too great leap of logic for me to make. And that was even as somebody who had distinctly heard the voice and felt the presence of what he knows to be God. Mm-hmm. You know, like my experiences were life moving and my life changing and life stealing for me, which is why I say my faith is unshaken. But my trust in that capital R religion is more than shaken. Because of that. And that's sad. And I'm glad to know that there are people and good spiritual teachers like you out there that are fully willing to say that there's no difference there. They're like, these things exist. These things are there.
Absolutely. You know, the two that are always at war in the spiritual realm.
Well, and that
both are just as we remember.
Yes, yes, exactly. And let's get into that real quick, because of course, before you get into, there was possibly a ritual used to harvest 8 souls so that somebody could become sworn to the occult lord Satan, which is where things go with this topic. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The old Faustian deal.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that, you know, given enough want that if you took a black pullet out to a crossroads at midnight, you might not be able to do something. But I think it's more the intent behind things going on than the exact recipe to be followed.
Absolutely.
Granted, when you're talking, quote, conjuration, high magic, things like that, solemnic magic, you know, things from the key of greater key, lesser key of Solomon, that kind of stuff. Hey, that is straight up pre-order of Melchizedek. goes back to Hebrew mysticism type stuff and very, very high ceremony, you know, and definitely where a lot of religious ceremony modernly is brought from and borrowed from. But even there, it warns you against meddling with spirits, becoming entangled with any, doing anything outside of protection. Like, I've never seen anything that's just a straight up invitation that does not have warnings in it. I guess, you know, and like you were saying, there is, I definitely believe in the presence of true evil. I definitely believe in the presence of true good. But let's start kind of getting into the history of right to begin with, because I think before you can get into any kind of, quote, witchcraft, or as they're posing in this, satanic ritualistic satanic blood sacrifice. It's a big mouthful, folks, but you got to be right about what they're saying, because, well, technically, according to all parts of the Church of Satan, and according to the Satanic Bible, there's no blood sacrifice. There's no need for blood sacrifice. What you're actively doing is like worshiping your own free will and the power that you have in the universe, you know, almost as that. The power of the golem, where once the Hebrew rabbi breathed life into the golem, he had a part of him in there. Same thing with God, like God breathed life into us. and we have that same creative power. Whether you want to call that spell, manifestation, good vibes, what have you. Kind of weird that it comes in the same right from the book of Satan and from the church of Satan. It's really extraneous members and extreme outside people who claim membership that are the ones that do blood ritual, blood sacrifice, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Church of Satan, really, you know, obviously it's a ton of satanic stuff in it.
Sure.
But the point, many of the members of the Church of Satan don't even believe in Satan. It's really, if you boil it down, it's an excuse to party and to do your own thing and have your fun, you know.
Yeah.
Give God the finger in the process, but it's really an excuse to party.
Yeah.
Then you have your...
Go ahead.
Wanting the demonic stuff, and they're the ones doing the blood sacrifices and whatnot, and most of the time they're private cell groups and private dark covens or whatnot, and, you know, they're kind of really fringe groups. And so, yeah, you really have to boil it down into two different groups. And I guess you could really say there's Satanists and then there's Luciferians. And the Luciferians are the ones that do the blood.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. That is a very, very good distinction to make. Because
yeah.
Luciferian is in and of itself a type of magic, much like Enochian magic or anything like that, where you're talking about powers of angels and thrones and oh my God, it just left my head, principalities. So not so much cherubim, oddly enough, but a lot of principalities in it.
The ironic thing of that is Lucifer was a cherubim.
Yes. Yeah. And
so there's at least one. There's at least one in there.
Well,
fallen, but at least one.
And I've always found it interesting that, I mean, Satan in and of itself, the term Satanas in Hebrew or Aramaic actually means like adversary.
Yeah, that's all it means. That's what that word is adversary.
And what's interesting is whenever you see this image of the devil, Satan, so to speak, just about anywhere in the Bible, it's one of those moments where he has his place there for a reason, whether it's in the story of the Book of Eden and the fall of man, whether it be in the story later of the temptation of Christ, or even in the story of Job, where not only does, because of course, I mean, the temptation of Christ, hey, devil's like hanging off Jesus's neck, you know, they're like, hey, he's trying to be buddy-buddy and hang out with him. But when you're talking the story of Job, the account is that Satan pops up in the heavenly court. So apparently he's like still necessary enough that he's still welcomed in the heavenly court to carry on this conversation about tempting Job away from God. Always been an interesting fact to me, because it wasn't really until that post crucifixion, it wasn't really till then that the devil became an unnecessary evil.
Yeah,
you know, and until then it was always, I think, seen in that traditional Jewish balance of where there is one, there has to be a zero. You know,
sure.
Yeah, I think, like you were saying a minute ago, the extremism is where you start finding things like blood sacrifice, things like that. It's not your average people. It's like saying that your average witch is out there casting black spells against people and using black magic. Not the case.
Mm-mm.
So, well, let's start getting into some of this claimed satanic imagery, because there was definitely, and I was showing an article a while ago about how TikTok has apparently taken down the videos, the 8 videos that were up there talking about all of this. And when you start looking at some of the imagery that was there, there's definitely a theme going on. You know, just as a promoter, hey, even as an event coordinator, doing what I do in the corporate realm, we come up with themes for events, you know, and things thematically follow that. Everything else. So, even some of the imagery of fire, all that kind of stuff was being highly focused on fire. I guess in one right, yes, can be seen as satanic, demonic, things like that. I mean, hey, I'm a kid from 1975. I grew up with Gene Simmons. I was in the Kiss Army, you know, like people thought that I was a satanic worshiper just because I liked Gene Simmons. And it was like, no, man, dude spits fire. I mean, come on. He spits fire.
Well, do you remember the old thing they used to say, KISS stands for Knights in Service of Satan?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I just roll my eyes and like, no,
yeah,
it really doesn't.
Yeah,
they're just randy dudes and kisses.
Yeah,
yeah, it's other stuff.
yeah, and you know, I remember there was a video, and I'm trying to remember the name of the video. It was at my church library, and I remember it distinctly going into the satanic influence of rock and roll, from the fact that like Angus Young was saying that whenever he was performing on stage in AC/DC, that he didn't feel like he was physically there. It's like, yeah, that's called being in the moment, man. I don't know if you've ever been enraptured by a moment. But when you perform, that's pretty common, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it was just it was one of those that even as a kid, I was like, wow, like this is pretty extreme. Some of it. Now, bringing up the images again from the Daily Caller article, you can see the flyer. All that kind of stuff. And yeah, the flyer definitely has some imagery in it, some mystical imagery, hand, eyes and palms, that kind of stuff. The entrance to the park was a huge dreadlocked white skull, specifically an African-American gentleman with a white skull painted on his face, which, you know, a lot of people may or may not recognize, but that would be your typical voodoo priest.
Yeah.
That you see in most imagery, everything else where he's got a white skull painted on his face. That is actually in the voodoo faith, a symbol of rebirth, a symbol of cleansing, healing, keeping away evil spirits, things like that. So even fire in ritualistic voodoo is used in the same way. They breathe, they spit alcohol and use tobacco and fire and smoke. Even the Catholic Church uses smoke and fire as a cleansing mechanism.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
And incense. So, symbol of your prayers rising to heaven. So, you know, whether or not, I don't think that Travis Scott went into this with any kind of, evil intent. I don't think that was the case, as many people were claiming. But even the imagery of the mountain with the big gaping hole that ended up becoming a lit vortex, you could consider that almost like Plato's cave. It's been interesting kind of cracking some of this from a producer's standpoint, from a set designer's standpoint, that kind of stuff.
Sure, I bet.
That is at least my interpretation. What would your interpretation of things here be, Father?
Well, you know, I definitely agree, you know, with you on the voodoo stuff, and because, you know, that's correct. That's what they believe and do, and how they do their rituals and whatnot. The thing with the head coming out of the ground, the gaping mouth, looks almost identical to what's known, which is like the gateway into hell. It has been around since the time of the Anglo-Saxons up until about, I think it was the late 1700s or so. You'll see it in a lot of religious art, and then it kind of died out until fairly recently. I mean, and like, I used to watch the program Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, and the high school was over the hell mouth, and, you know, all Buffy had to kick butt and take names and all that stuff. But, you know, that symbology was there. So I understand where a lot of folks are coming from that, oh, this is straight satanic. Well, absolutely. Was that the intent? And then the vortex, the lit up vortex, and then these, I watched someone was recording it, and these hands would come out of the vortex, and, you know, if I'm just looking at it at face value, I'd say, well, those are demons coming out of the vortex after they entered the hell mouth. However, there are a lot of musical groups, talents, that's their the group Ghost, for instance. Their ghost is their Satanists. I don't know if they're actually Satanists or not. But they have a lot of very satanic imagery, and some of their songs are pretty sketchy, to say the least.
Yes.
Or they have the 80s band Slayer. I mean, they had a inverted pentagram and everything else, the Baphomet, and went for the shtick and the motif. You have Alice Cooper, who's a Christian, by the way.
Yep.
That a lot of stuff is skulls and makeup and this and that, but that's all page because that's been his shtick since the 70s. A person has to be wise about things. Was it the intent of this artist to conjure up the devil and do these blood sacrifices? Or was there just some really ignorant, foolish people in the audience that did a lot of stupid things that caused, you know, 8 people to die, just a ton more injured? And then I hear reports about some guy hitting people with a needle going through the crowd. You know, either the guy was a lunatic, maybe he was demon-possessed, I don't know. But it's one of those things. You have to look at all of the mitigating factors before you just go, oh, it's the devil. It's like when rock and roll first came out. You know, it's got a beat to it. It has to be satanic.
Yeah.
How many cultures around the world have drums in ceremonies?
Yeah,
you know, that is.
Well, I mean,
look at the Native Americans. They have good stuff.
Yeah,
with their drums.
Well, and you know, it even goes down to, I mean, hey, I'm an 80s kid. Footloose. Come on. I'm from Texas. Like, that whole thing was based about Beaumont, Texas. So, yeah. Like, it's interesting how quick we are to raise the staff against evil and say that it's there and point it out and try to call it out, but at the same token, so reticent to call it out in everyday life and so resident to reticent to call it out.
Yeah, the person, that's why I say a person needs to have wisdom.
Yeah.
You know, to look at it in the broader picture. Could this artist, you know, maybe he sold his soul to the, and actually you can't sell your soul to the devil. And only God knows that. But
I don't have a ding, ding, you know, ding. I need a correct bell. Ding, ding, ding. Like, that's right. You can't sell your soul to the devil.
No, he makes you think you did, but no, you never do. It's totally revocable, and God can redeem it at any point.
Yeah, so, you can't sell what you don't own.
Exactly.
You can corrupt it, you can soil it, you can do whatever you want to with it, but you did not create that. It is not yours.
And only his signature.
that's just going by all religious teaching, folk. And you know, is my child baptized? Sure, my child's baptized. Absolutely. Do I go to church every Sunday with my son? No, I don't. But I tell him about God and teach him about God. And it's one of those that when you choose a religion, I want you to choose that openly and of open mind and of open heart. I don't want you to choose it because that is what you've been rotely told and you should just blindly believe. And that's different than a lot of people think, Father, you know?
It is. Absolutely.
And I have a lot of religious friends. I have a lot of religious family that are a little upset with me about that. Okay. but it's one of those that it's the intention, like you were saying, did Travis Scott, were they sitting back and master planning an 8-person sacrifice like some people are trying to make it seem? No. The rabbit holes that went on, Father, were people saying things like Travis Scott was born on the same day that the Satanic Bible was released. His guest star who shared the stage with him was born 666 days after him, or 666 months after Travis Scott. You know, these things aren't coincidence. And it's like, wow, unless you can precisely time having sex and conception and the birth of a child. Like, that's witchcraft enough. Like, if you could do that, you should be burned at the stake. You are a witch. Like, if you could have sex with intent to be pregnant and guarantee a delivery date, man, tell you what, let's hop over to Vegas and let's all lay some odds, folks. You know what I'm saying? Because if you can do that, like, we got some bets to make. I bet you this lady will have a baby on this date. Exactly. It's one of those, like, wow, these aren't coincidences. You could not give 3 better examples of coincidences in a row.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, that's not to discount anybody's faith. That's not to discount. Because, hey, I belong to a lot of communities. I ascribe to a lot of things, and I ascribe to a lot of beliefs that are, well, let's just say paranormal, because they are outside of the norm, the definition of the term, you know? This was something that was just not normal. And, I know practitioners of witchcraft. I know Satanists. you know? I know vampires. Like, people who drink blood, things like that. They aren't out, like, sacrificing people to do so. They aren't doing that. Eight people tragically died, and unfortunately, when you're on stage, and especially on an elevated platform like that, hey, you may not know if a guy just, like, passed out from exhaustion, dehydration, drunkenness. What? You don't know why the EMTs are playing with that guy. So everyone that's like, you tell me it's not a satanic ritual. Look, he's still singing while they're carrying him off. He doesn't exactly know why they're carrying him off in that moment.
Another devil's advocate here. Could be like the body surf in concerts all the time.
Sure.
You know, raise the person up.
Yeah.
You know, move them.
Yeah. And
so people are too much of a fortune teller. They think that certain people should have all knowledge at all times about what's going on. And especially in a group that large, that chaotic, you're not going to know a lot of the stuff that's going on out with your folks there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even just thinking logistically, which, you know, hey, the police chief of Houston met with Travis Scott and his people and with Live Nation. There's over 100 lawsuits pending now. It's a great tragic loss of life and something that will serve as an example for my industry. Without a doubt.
Sure.
Without a doubt. This will, for a long, long time, serve as an example for our industry, for those of us involved in entertainment. Especially live entertainment, live events, because you do deal with crowds of 50, 100,000 regularly, you know, and it's one of those like, wow, if we all had to get out of this building right now, I wonder how that'd work out.
Probably about the same as the weekend.
Exactly. Probably about the same way. The only difference is instead of trying to get out, you were trying to run in and get the best open seat in an open field.
Yeah.
And it sadly led to the death of 8 people, and the crushing and injuring of hundreds more. Like I said, there are now, hundreds of lawsuits pending against this. So we will see what it does.
Sure.
We will see how it shakes out. Once again, a horrible, horrible tragedy that could have been avoided and averted by all means. And one of my favorites was the picture where they were saying that his last album picture or his last album cover, let me see if I can find the album cover, depicted him as a, here we go, his last album cover, Weekly World Truths, The True Dystopia Is Here, shows him dressed up as, quote, a demon. It's like, that's not a demon. That's Bat Boy from, like, the 1980s Weekly World News cover that he's doing a play of, you know? And that's just it. Like, I'm showing the images on screen right now of what they're talking about, the album cover where he's dressed as that. And the title is The True Dystopia Is Here. Stuff like that. So when you're talking that kind of title, you know, when the end arrives, it's really the beginning. I don't know. I don't see him as trying to maintain any kind of ritual on stage or anything like that. I think this is something that was a horrible, horrible human tragedy and a convergence of events that I guess just so happened to be right up around Halloween and that time of year. And, you know, with our current climate I'm involved in a lot of paranormal communities, Father. You're involved in a couple of them that I'm a part of. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see how rapidly carried away these communities can get. Rapidly toxic they can turn on each other.
Oh my, yes.
Over things like this. Like, I guarantee you, after this episode airs, I will probably lose a few members of my Facebook group. Things like that. I'm okay with it. Because the point is to have the conversation. The point is to say, hey, are we dealing with a mass death ritual, like live snuff film? You know? No, I don't think we are. I think, sadly, some people are grabbing hold of some stuff. And if anything, these headlines were used to deflect things away for a few days and gladly used by concert promoters and other people in charge of the event who are sadly responsible for a great, great travesty and mishandling of their security and the processes that typically go into putting on something of that scale.
Sure. Absolutely.
Now, but switching gears real quick before we let you go, Father, we were talking about intent a while ago and the intent of things, you know, what you're using things for means such a difference. What can people do to be more spiritually mindful? What can they do to live with that good intent and to try to keep that? Because, you know, over COVID, everything else, man, it's hard not to focus on the negative. And every cup of negativity has the density of 10 cups of goodwill, you know? One cup of ill will just outweigh 10 good ones in a heartbeat, you know? So what can we do to keep ourselves present of mind? What can we do to keep ourselves focused on the good, to keep ourselves doing right, and to try and avoid that worst four-letter word of all, evil, you know, that universal evil that goes beyond religion or faith, but goes straight to the core of humanity itself and how we treat each other as human beings?
Well, you know, there's one surefire way to put out that, like you're saying, you know, the positive instead of the negative, is to help others, treat others well, give them respect, love them despite their failings, because we all have failings. Some more than others, but all of us fall short of the glory of God. And so, you know, helping your fellow man, being loving, being kind, being compassionate to those in need or who are suffering. You know, you can't do any evil when you're doing those things, because, you know, sin was the pride was the original sin, and it's the sin from which all other sins are derived. And pride focuses on the self, whereas if you're focusing on others, you're not giving yourself, as the Bible says, the occasion for sin. You're focused on other people's welfare, other people's health and happiness and meeting their needs. I mean, that's the very best way to put out the good and avoid.
Wow. Yeah, I could not have said that better. Absolutely. Social service, going out, doing things for other people, making yourself available. And folks, that may just be, especially in this day and age, just letting somebody go off. Not judging them for it, not judging them about the content of their rant, but just letting them have a safe space to be able to light off for a minute. Judgment free, you know, that I think is probably the biggest part that we are missing cog-wise. I think that those are the two cogs that are kind of hitching against each other in our machine of humanity right now, Father, is that compassion and goodwill. Because that goodwill is the want to do something good, you know? The compassion is that suffering alongside of. So whether you do something good or not, you're not feeling bad for somebody. You actively know their pain. And you make an effort to know their pain and suffer alongside them with that. And if that takes just being quiet and listening, it's one of the most beautiful things you can do. So, wow. Father, thank you so much for your time once again. As always, great having you on. Let everybody know where they can go to pick up their copy of Walking with Ghosts, an exorcist memoir of the paranormal, where they can go for cleansing services, things like that, where they can contact you if they think that they have any kind of entity malevolently or otherwise that may be fooling around with them, their family, their property. Where can they go to get help?
Okay. First, the book, you can find it on Amazon. You just type in the title of the book and it'll pull it right up. There's quite a few resources out there to help folks that are dealing with something that is supernatural or paranormal. I mean, you can go to orderofexorcist.com and that'll dump you into the St. Michael's website that has a network of priests and other clergy folk that are willing and able to help a person out. You can go to my personal Facebook page for that sort of thing at Paranormal Research Investigators of St. Michael, or PRISM, and request help there. I do live in South Dakota now, so I'm not able to travel too far because I'm stay-at-home dad now, even though I was mental health professional and a drug and alcohol counselor. I gave that up so my wife could follow her dreams. So the easiest way to contact me is through the PRISM page. I'm almost at max on my personal Facebook page, but
wow.
You can shoot me a request or just a message. And sometimes I don't see the messages because they get dumped into the, you know, quote unquote, other folder. But I check that on occasion. But yeah, that's the easiest way to get some help.
Fantastic. Thank you so much once again, Archbishop James Cloud. Always great having you on, talking about good, evil, the things that move humanity, the things that move us spiritually. Cannot wait until your next appearance. Next time we will be the Curious Realm. So, yeah.
Looking forward to it, man.
Absolutely. Well, please do hold the line while we close things out here. While you are online checking everything out from the good Archbishop James Cloud, make sure to stop on by the Dudes and Beer Podcast. Dudes and Beer Podcast is where you can get all of the episodes. That's where you can get the knowledge vault. That's where you can go and buy books. Where you can go and buy ghost hunting equipment. Everything else. Stop on by dudesandbeer.com. Don't forget to Google CuriousRealm.com. CuriousRealm.com. Can't wait. Coming soon. Talk to you soon, everybody. Love y'all. Can't be good, be good.
Thanks
at it.
Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. To this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.